This week on the show, we interview Hollywood dog trainer for more than 30 years, Joel Silverman. We discuss his history in Hollywood with movie and commercial dogs, what you need to know if you want to get your dog into TV and film, and I know you've thought about it. Plus, we'll talk about some fun behind-the-scenes stories of animals on screen.
If you don't like humans, that's understandable. I'd rather spend time with my
Hey, I'm Allison Seeky.
And I'm Kyle Kittleson. Welcome to the Pet Collective. This is the podcast for pet parents and the pet obsessed. Allison, you are the veteran actor here. Do you like actor or actress?
You know, it depends on if I'm trying to make a point. I usually go with actor. You know, but I half expect to get called out by somebody going, well, don't you mean actress? And then I say, well, is there a writress? Is there a paintress? You know, just
see,
like,
I didn't even know it came that I didn't even think about it that far. I just assumed actors are actors.
It doesn't have to be gendered. It's a trade. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's no shoemakeress.
Yeah, I'm not a dog trainer,
right? And I'm not a,
you know,
exactly. Why does it have to be gendered? It doesn't.
The closest thing I became to being an actor was Callie getting booked for commercials and stuff when I first moved to LA.
Bragging.
Oh honey, she's in demand.
No, that's amazing. So do you handle her when she books a job?
Yes, I've had some other people handle her, some other trainers who she has relationships with, but absolutely, I love going. And she loves it. She loves the whole experience.
Really?
So that's why I'm excited for this interview with Joel, because people, everybody out there thinks their dog is the next big thing.
Truth.
Like you just do. You just think like, oh, if my dog would be the best on the cover of that.
My dog is
dog
the cutest
food.
When X and such. Yeah.
And by the way, you're all right. Like, you're all
correct.
I thought
you were going to say, I'm right because my dog's
the cutest. No. Like, everybody, I agree. Like,
no,
we all
true.
Think our dog is the cutest and we're all correct. And so,
but does
this
that
is actually,
always translate to the screen?
Yeah, or a paycheck. I think Joel is going to give a lot of great insight and tips for people who want to seriously pursue it, or if they're just even if I just did like a local news spot, that would be fun with my dog. You know?
Totally. Let's talk to the man behind the dog.
Okay, yeah, let's get into the interview. Here's Joel Silverman. Joel, so glad you're here. How did you start training pets for productions on television, film, and print?
Well, I grew up in Southern California, and I used to go to Universal Studios when I was a kid. And so I started working at Universal Studios doing the animal show a long time ago, probably was like 20, 21. Went down and worked at SeaWorld for a while, was there for a good amount of time, came back to Universal Studios, and that's what actually got me into training animals for movies and commercials. So back then, when I was doing the show at Universal Studios, we had, the very first job I ever did was Bandit from Little House on the Prairie, for example. And he performed in the show, you know, Bandit performed in the show. Boomer from a TV series, Here's Boomer, was a big show on NBC. He was in the show. Fred the Cockatoo from the Beretta series, which was like in the 70s and stuff. And so so we would do the show with these animals. And so Ray Berwick, who owned the show at Universal Studios, is the one that really taught me using positive reinforcement, because a lot of trainers back then were only using, a lot of compulsion, a lot of force and things like that. Very few trainers are using positive reinforcement. Ray was actually a really good bird trainer. He did actually Alfred Hitchcock's motion picture, The Birds. That was like his big claim to fame. I mean, that's how old, you know, that's how it goes back. So that's what got me into doing, you know, movie work. And then once I was there, that got me into training animals from the commercials. And, you know, I ended up, my big thing was training Dreyfus from the TV series Empty Nest. That was, we were a spinoff of Golden Girls. 4 years of the show, 188 tapings. So that was a big deal.
Cool.
I feel like a lot of people, especially our listeners, would like their dog or cat to be an actor. And maybe they don't need to be in the next James Bond film, but a local commercial perhaps, or a local magazine, that would be fun for them. What criteria makes for an ideal animal actor?
The one word I use is desensitizing the animal. And I tell people all the time, you know, our dogs, our puppies that we have, that, you know, if I'm working on a TV series and I got a puppy, that puppy is with me every day on the set. Because when you go to a soundstage, and you guys know, a soundstage looks really weird. And especially if you're shooting in this big, dark area and they have this little tiny area that's lit up and everything else is really dark, it's like the big bad people are, you know, where's the people? And so if you get your dog conditioned to being on the set, I always tell people also desensitizing your dog to getting your dog in a grocery store, letting doors open and close, having people reward the dog. And if you can get your dog used to, you know, doors that, you know, they have no idea when the doors are going to open, close, and people come in and just pet the dog and give the dog a treat. Everybody, male, female, old, young, it doesn't matter. That's a great way to, so desensitization is a huge, huge deal. I tell people that right off the bat, because I'll see people have a dog that's trained and it's like, well, they do all these great behaviors and they do it from like a foot away. And you know, being on the set, it's like, you can't be, everything's got to be done from 30 feet away. And sometimes dogs are working parallel to you and they're not even closer than 30 feet from you, but they're doing like 30 different things within a 2-minute period. And so you have to have that control. We use private party dogs a lot. And those dogs that work, that do really, really well, are dogs that people that show them. And because if they show them in dog shows, they're around people.
Oh, dog shows, yeah.
Exactly. If they do agility work, you know, with them and stuff, they're performing in front of people. They're constantly working and things like that around other dogs. Those are great ways to desensitize. It's the ones I worry about are the people's dogs that I've got this really cool dog and I got this, you know, a lot of times I'll need a specific breed. And a lot of movie animal companies just don't have it. So we'll look for that breed. And you can't find any of them that have never really been out of the house. And yeah, they've trained them to do some things, but it's like, and that's really where it's kind of a crapshoot. And it's kind of, it's still scary, you know?
Yeah, because I feel like dogs that aren't used to showbiz are pretty distracted by that environment. There's so much going on for them to be like, ooh, maybe I can get approval over there, that it's hard to keep them
exactly.
In line.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, the other thing too is the fact that, you know, when we train animals, we train them for endurance, you know, so know the fact that when you shoot a scene, you know, even though the dog did it right, you know, other people are not going to get it right, or the dog might mess up or whatever. And it might be 15, 20 takes. And
totally.
You get a dog that's conditioned to working and they're just conditioned to doing all those takes. That's what's so cool. You get a dog that just wants to quit after two or three. It's like, okay, this isn't fun anymore. Well, we can't do that. These are paying.
We got a much longer day than that.
Got to have a dog working. So, you know, we condition the dogs to work. We make it fun. We make it a fun thing. I mean, they love coming on the set. Their attitude is, you know, and they love to play with, you know, pet every, you know, the crew and everything, but have the crew pet them. And so, you know, what we'll do is we'll say, you know, my dogs understand. It's like, we'll let you say hi to everybody real briefly. We'll kind of tease you a little bit. But when we're done, then you can go crazy with everybody. But mm-hmm. you got to do your job first, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff. So it's kind of that type of deal.
Totally. So let's say I have my dog, Peaches, and let's say she's been coming to set with me my whole life. So she's kind of perfectly lined up to be a great dog for show biz. Mm-hmm. What are the first steps to getting my little girl in front of casting people and producers and working?
The first thing I would tell somebody is kind of what I said before. I wouldn't do that until you have the dog desensitized. The dog was, and you know your dog is totally desensitized. So your dog is desensitized to things, trained to just, you know, understand some of the basics that you need to train. To be honest with you, and to be honest with you, I'll continue this real quick. But you know, sit, stay, lie down, come. Just those four behaviors. Honestly, I would rather have a dog that knew those solid, rather than a dog that knew 20 behaviors mm-hmm. that couldn't work, you know, a foot away from you, had no control whatsoever. I want the dog that's got the control. Okay. So if your dog's got the control, the next step is to make your contacts. And I tell people, you know, I teach these dog trainer certification courses all over the United States, and I'm on the road like every month and at the dog daycare businesses. And I've met some awesome people that do dog daycare. And the train dogs. They have these dog classes, and these dogs are great movie dogs. So I've actually had this same conversation with them just recently. And I've told them, you guys need to reach out to production companies in your area. And the same thing I was telling them to tell you, find production companies in your area. Now, if you're in Los Angeles, it's a little bit difficult because there's, you know, tons of them out there. But a lot of people, if you live in a place that's a smaller place, find out some of the local production companies and just let them know, hey, listen, I've got a couple dogs. Love to show you my dogs. Let you see what you think. And, you know, we train them for movies, commercials. We supply them and stuff. We just want to let you know we're in the area. And I just love to show you my dogs. A lot of times when we're working dogs on the set, when we have these casting calls, you know, that's exactly what we'll do is you'll show the dog. It's a showing. And so they'll put the dog, you know, 20 or 30 feet away. All the producers will kind of get around you. The dog will be, they'll be watching the dog. You'll put him through all his paces, sit, lie down on your side, straighten up, head down, sit, step back up, you know, all these sit up, wave, cover your eyes, all the different things. And, you know, you rip through the thing in like 15, 20 seconds, but people get a chance to kind of see the dog. And that's what I would recommend people do. You know, just have your dog. Distance is a big deal. Okay. If you bring your dog to a production company and the first thing you do is you get your dog 18 inches away from you, start working the dog. Because they're used to working around movie animals, most of them. And so they're going to be like, well, there's no distance. Well, can you get farther away from your dog? And so you need to be able to have some distance. And that's the other thing too. So, distance and control, but sit, stay, lie down, you know, something like that. Come maybe play dead on your side, straighten up, you know, something like those basic behaviors. I think that's really, really cool.
Callie, my dog, when we moved to LA, I wanted her to work. And once we got our first gig, I think it was something with National Geographic, but the first thing she did, that's all it took to open the door. It was like, once you got in, then people knew, oh, if you need a white dog, Callie's available for that, you know? And then the referrals, you know, just kept coming. So for listeners and local communities, work really hard to get that first commercial, that first print job, that first TV spot. And then after that, you're probably going to be known, if you do a good job and the dog is great and you're great and easy to work with, you'll probably be known as a go-to resource.
Yeah, that's a good point. The other thing, Kyle, you said real quick, which is really important, that is, don't worry about the money at the very beginning. You just said something really important. That is, just get your foot in the door, you know, just get people to know you. And that's the most important thing. And, you know, if you do a good job, you know, like Kyle said, you know, they'll call you back.
Yes. We've talked about what the dog or the cat or the pet has to have. What should the parent have to make it in this industry or experience at least some success?
Well, if the parent is a parent being a trainer as well, or if the parent is a parent,
I would assume so. Yeah, most of our listeners enjoy spending time with their dog and training themselves. Yes.
Okay. So if you are the parent and the trainer, what I would do is I would just be like, I would tell people all the time, it's like, you're almost like a cork on the water, and you just got to realize that sometimes you might get something with your dog that was a really, really good deal, a good job, and went really, really good. And you kind of got, you know, a lot of exposure and stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, nobody's calling you for like 3 months or 4 months or 5 months. That's the business. That's the way the business is. You know, I'm 62. I've been doing this since I was like 18, and I've seen everything. And it's like the highs and the lows. And so my thing is, don't let your highs get too high. Don't let your lows get too low, you know? And so, you know, I hosted a show on Animal Planet called Good Dog You. It aired, it was one of the highest rated shows on Animal Planet when it first came out, one of the very first shows, you know, and stuff. And, you know, it was one of the highest rated shows. Thought they were going to renew my contract in April, and all of a sudden they called and they were like, now we're going to go with somebody else. You know, they went with the other guy down in Florida and the show went down the toilet, but it was the highest rated show. And to this day, I still have no idea why, but it's like, it is what it is, you know,
Hollywood,
the highs and lows, the highs and lows. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Allison and I are both nodding our heads like,
Happens all the time.
That's true.
Joel, most complicated scene you had to do with an animal.
Okay. So when I did this TV series, Empty Nest, which, like I say, it's a spinoff of Gold. It was a spinoff of Golden Girls.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, it's a four camera show. Actually, if you go to YouTube, go Best of Dreyfus, Empty Nest.
Okay.
When you see Best of Dreyfus, you'll see stuff. You'll see all this stuff that he did. Yeah, it's actually somebody, I don't know who this guy was or girl, but they edited all into one, this piece. It was incredible. Anyways, so we shoot with four cameras. Okay. Shooting with four cameras in front of a live audience is way different than shooting with one camera, because with one camera, they're normally shooting and they cut. Mm-hmm. They don't cut. Okay. It's a 2.5 minute play. Okay. And it's shot with four, and I've got to move around the cameras and people are talking. So I can't talk. So every cue I give the dog is this or this, this or this. And this might be go pick it up or go over here and go lie down or whatever. But it's, and he just patterned. So he'll have to pattern. There was a episode we did called The Dog Who Knew Too Much. And it was about how everybody was like going through a lot of heavy stuff on their own. And they were talking to the dog and talking to Dreyfus and just expressing how tough life was. And it was a pretty heavy show, but he had an episode. He was in so many, he was in every scene and then he had to do a different pattern each time. So, I mean, sometimes they'll have to do 30 moves without a cut at all.
Wow.
30 things. Walk over here, come over, put your head down, then walk over this way, over there. And I can't talk at all. And he's got to go cruise all the way over there, cruise over here. But what would happen, the good news about when you were doing a four camera show is we shot on Tuesday nights. So we would get scripts on Wednesday. So I'd have Wednesday through Monday to pattern him on. It's like a computer. I tell people all the time. It's like, we're just like a computer. We're just patterning him just like a computer. Mm-hmm. And throughout the whole week. And, you know, Kyle will tell you about chaining behaviors as well. You've got, if you don't reward things in the middle periodically, it's going to break down and you're going to, so throughout that chain, throughout the whole week, we're going to reward certain parts of it just to keep that chain strong. So I speak a lot at a lot of national dog training conferences about chaining and things like that too, as well, because it's because of the experience of working on that show. So that's probably one of the most difficult, it wasn't just that episode. It was many, many episodes of working on empty nest, but it really, but Bear was a great dog, you know, cause he worked over and over and over again. And it made me a better trainer because, you know, it's just not that one camera thing and it just does a behavior cut and then just give it on. It's just that it really teaches you about shooting that wide shot, you know, stuff. So.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazingly technical.
It really is. It really is. It was just such a great experience. And now, you know, and back then, back in the day, you know, in the 80s and 90s, they shot with one camera, but now even on movies, they're shooting with like three or four cameras. So it's, you know, so it's challenging for a lot more challenging for trainers on features and things like that. My really, really good friend, Steve, my best friend, Steve Behrens did I Am Legend. He trained the German Shepherd. That was his dog.
Oh,
wow. Gets killed. And that dog only had 3 or 4 months of training. I mean, he got Abby from a rescue place because the director specifically wanted a skinny, light colored, frail German Shepherd. So he got that dog and trained them. She did the whole movie, that dog. And they shot that.
That's interesting because I would have assumed that they would have used multiple dogs for a movie of that scale, because I'm a big Frasier fan because I'm basically like a 93-year-old man.
No, Frasier is amazing.
Frasier is it. But that dog, Eddie, which has passed since, but I think there were 2 Eddies that they used for that show.
Yeah, that was a company I used to work for at Birds and Animals Unlimited. So I worked when I did Empty Nest. They were shooting Frasier at the time, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And so Matilda, she was a trainer, and she actually had, I forgot what the dog's name was, but they had a couple, and I wouldn't be surprised if they had, if they're shooting, they got, especially a show like that, like our show, like Empty Nest, you know, you always have a backup, God forbid something happens with the dog. Now, that's a good point you raise, Kyle. Most features that we're shooting will have 2 or 3 dogs. And the big reason for it is because if you're shooting first unit, second unit, the first unit, and for the people that don't really know what first unit and second unit is, first unit is basically all the principal actors, all the main, you know, stuff happens. Your main dog, your lead dog is going to be first unit. Second unit is kind of a splinter group. It's if they wanted to shoot stuff, A to B's dog running down the street, this and that. So we'll use the backup dog for the A to B's running down the street or whatever. So they can shoot, you know, second unit while they're doing first unit. So, and sometimes we can interchange the principal dog if we've got two dogs that are really super similar. But I think in Steve's situation, I don't think he had a chance to even train. I think he had a backup, but I don't think he ever used the backup for the dog for the movie. Also a lot of it was because of the way she looks. She's just a light colored, skinny, she doesn't look like a regular shepherd.
Right.
You know, look like a regular shepherd.
Well, don't worry, everyone. The backup units also get lots of treats.
Yes, they do.
They've done just as good job. They're not like people, exactly. Okay? They don't have an ego.
I have a question that might seem a little bit silly, but I am serious, Joel. So we've heard these stories about people being on set, and sometimes a director, you know, let's say you have a childhood trauma, a director will sometimes be known for bringing that out to bring out a certain performance. Is that ever done? I know it's horrible. Are animals only shot on set, like with commands, or are they ever just put into a scenario and asked to naturally respond?
I would say only put on the set to do commands, and the reason is because normally there's a specific thing they want the dog to do. You know, I don't think if somebody's going to spend a lot of money on bringing a dog and a trainer on the set, you know, they're going to be like, okay, we want the dog to do this.
They don't want a big question mark.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's going to cost you $1,000 just to get a dog, a trainer, and transportation, just, you know, pretty much on the set. So I don't know if people are going to spend $1,000 and say, okay, well, let's have a dog just kind of like hang out and let's see what happens. You know, so
no method acting for you.
There's some animal trainers that are on the set. It's just funny because, and the answer to your question too, is if anybody ever works a dog on the set, if your dog makes a mistake, it's no big deal. Just have the dog repeat the behavior, okay? Dog's working for the treat. He doesn't get a treat unless he does the behavior. But don't get upset and don't get
worried. Yeah.
And they will wait. They will spend hours waiting for special effects to put a little thing on a coin for 30 minutes, this. And if they can wait for that, they can wait for you and your dog, okay? And
I was for a live animal.
Don't rush it. Just take your time. If you feel like people are, you know, you're getting this thing where they're, you know, rushing or whatever, just in one ear and out the other, you take your time. That dog means everything, and that dog is the most important thing.
Oh, you're right.
Well said.
So how is an animal's welfare taken care of, watched after, and accounted for when working on set?
Well, the first thing is, and these animals are raised on the set. So when they're puppies, I mean, we raise them on the set from, you know, 8 to 10 weeks old. So they grow up on the set. They learn that everybody is a positive thing. That people play with them. They work on the set. So they look at the set as something positive. But we also work very closely hand in hand with the American Humane Association. And the American Humane Association, if you've seen at the end of the movies, it'll say no animal was harmed. The reason it says it was because they were there on the set, an animal AHA representative. And so they work very closely with us as movie animal trainers. And, you know, God forbid you're in a situation to where the reason they're there is that if you have a situation where you're working with the dog, we have a car coming by, you feel like it's too close and they want the dog, but you have a director that still wants the dog to stay there while the car is going by, they could step in. The American Humane can step in and be the bad person, say, hey, listen, you know,
advocate for the animal.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's never happened to me before ever in my life, but that's why they're
good.
There. Yeah. That's why they're there.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice that somebody's watching over.
Yeah.
So when we think of animals on set, I think most people's minds go to dogs, but what about all the cat parents out there? Is it possible to train a cat to go onto set and become a little cat actor?
It is. It is. And I train a lot of cats for movies, TV shows, and commercials. And if you have a cat that you've taken out on a leash, you know, I would always recommend, you know, being on a leash. But if your cat could go on a leash and your cat works for treats just like a dog does and sits and stays and lies down and can go on a leash, your cat could work on the set, you know. But I would still tell them the same thing. You know, you want to make sure you socialize the cat, get the cat, you know, desensitized to being on the set. But absolutely, you certainly can do that.
Joel, we have some questions for you from our Pet Collective audience.
Okay.
If you would be so kind as to enlighten us to this exciting stuff.
Okay.
So this first question, I love this question. This is from Oscar on Instagram, and he wants to know, how do I train my puppy to skateboard?
I would love to be able to tell you how to do that. You know, I could tell you how to train a dog to skateboard. I train a dog to actually put three paws on and push the skateboard. I can show you, teach you how to do that. What you're seeing on TV with the bulldogs is not that. They're doing something that they were starting to condition to do, and all of a sudden they started, you know, learning the fact they can just get on this thing and just like start, you know, jumping on it, you know, and stuff, and steering. You saw them steer it and everything like that too, right? And yeah. And they know that they can kind of push it. So that's kind of a combination of a trained trained behavior and a natural behavior. I always tell people, I'm always honest with people. If I don't know how to do something, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you. I would recommend the people that do it, because you've seen it before, go to YouTube, take a look. You'll see the videos. You'll see how they train it. I personally have never trained a dog to do it that way. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've just trained a dog to put 3 feet on the thing and push it, which is, I mean, and we did it actually on Empty Nest, on an episode of Empty Nest. And it's in that video, actually. It's in the video that I told you about, the best of them. But that's not what they do with a dog actually skateboarding. So I would recommend asking somebody that has actually done it.
One of the, a woman I met, her bulldog she might've been the first one, you know, who got famous for the skateboarding thing that kind of went viral. Now everybody does it. And I asked her, I said, well, how did you train it? And she said, I didn't. I go, what do you mean you didn't? And she goes, I'm telling you, one day he got on the skateboard and just figured it out and he loves it. I go, that is not true. And she said, yeah. I'm not lying to you. It's 100% true. She goes, I'm not a trainer. I don't know anything about that. This dog loves skateboarding. And so I think you're right.
It's exactly wild. Right. And the thing is, I can't remember the name of that dog, the very first one, but now there's a bunch of dogs that do it. You know, there's more than one bulldog now, and they're all bulldogs. Seems like.
Oh yeah.
But I forgot his name. He was a brown and white. He was a brown and white dog in Southern California. But you're right. No, I mean that's the thing, and that's why I can't. It's hard for me to explain because it's not really a trained thing, you know. So
you got to just have a skateboard around and cross your fingers that they get curious and figure it out. We have another question. This one comes from Nathan on YouTube. What is the most famous pet you have ever worked with?
The most famous.
Now, Joel, before you answer, keep in mind you have worked with my dog, Callie. Okay. So I want you to tread very lightly here.
Fame is relative.
I would have to say Bear, you know, Empty Nest. I mean, there was a top 10 TV show on Empty Nest. I mean, we were like the, you know, he was on the cover of TV Guide. He was on the cover of TV Guide 3 times in a row. Three times in less than a year. And he was, I've got pictures actually over there, of that one, but it's, Bear was a big part of my life. He was a really big part of my life, but he was probably one of the most famous dogs. Yeah.
Joel, this has been a wonderful conversation, one that I know the pet collective community has enjoyed. Where can they learn more about you and where can they follow you online?
You can go to joelsilverman.net, go to my website. And I do a lot of seminars and workshops across the United States. I'm doing one with a guy named Larry Crone, who's another dog trainer. He's really big on YouTube. And Larry and I are doing a lot of, we're going to be going over there probably 2 to 3 times a year, starting all over the United States and doing these back-to-back seminars and workshops. And I do my dog trainer certification courses as well. So if people are interested, they can always plug into those as well. And thanks for having me, guys. I really, really appreciate it. And Kyle, you and I, see right here, there's you right there.
Oh, there we are doing it.
I think a lot of creatures are going to thank you for helping them get their foot in the door after today.
Yes, great. Absolutely. Joel, amazing. Thanks for being here.
Guys, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, I think a lot of new pet stars were born here today. You're welcome.
Stars born. Yes. Yeah.
No, seriously, thank you so much, Joel. That was amazing. Guys, find him on Instagram or Facebook. And as always, reach out to me and Kyle with your questions for the next episode. What do you guys want to hear about? We want to hear about what you want to hear about. Send us your questions.
Send me your pet's headshots, too. I want to see a headshot of your pet. Glamour shots only.
Totally. And if you want to find our pets on Instagram, I think today's a great day to shout them out. My girl is at Tuxedo Peaches. Where can you find Callie?
At Callie the Lab.
And remember to follow the Pet Collective on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok for nonstop pet cuteness. Also, check out the Pet Collective store at petcollective.shop. That's petcollective.shop for tons of amazing things for you and your fur babies. Guys, we're going to see you next week.
Adios.
Bye.
The Pet Collective podcast is produced by Jukin Media and The Pet Collective. Head producer, Anosh McAdam. Associate producer, Brandon Kendall. and our original score is composed by Corey Celeste.